Dr. Demure. Dr. Demure died in Albi, Tarn, on January 25, 1865. Dr. Demure was a well-regarded homeopathic physician in Albi. His character and wisdom won him the esteem and veneration of his fellow citizens. His kindness and charity were inexhaustible. In spite of his advanced age, he never became tired when administering his care to the poor. Payment for his visits was what mattered least to him. He regarded himself as less inconvenienced by his poorer clients than by the ones whom he knew could pay him. He said that this was because the latter could always find another doctor in his absence. He not only gave his poorer clients prescriptions and medicine without charge, but he often added what was necessary to provide for their physical needs as well, which is sometimes the most effective medicine. We might say that he was a priest of the medical arts. Dr. Demure ardently embraced the Spiritist doctrine, in which he found the key to the most serious problems that he had fruitlessly sought for in science and every philosophy. His profound and investigative spirit immediately comprehended the full scope of the doctrine, and he became one of its most zealous proselytizers. A most lively and mutually sympathetic relationship was established between us through correspondence. We found out about his death on January 30th. Our first thought was that of obtaining a communication from him, which he provided for us on the same day.
I'm here. When alive, I promised myself that when I died, I would come, if possible, to shake hands with my dear teacher and friend, Mr. Allan Kardec. Death plunged my soul into that heavy sleep called lethargy. But my mind kept watch. I shook off the dismal torpor that prolongs the state of confusion after death, and woke up, making the crossing in a single bound. How happy I am! I am no longer either infirm or old. My body was only a garment imposed on me. I am now young and handsome, with the eternal youthful beauty of the spirits, whose faces are never marked with wrinkles and whose hair never becomes gray with the passage of time. I'm light like a bird that rapidly flies across the horizon of your cloudy sky. And I marvel, contemplate, bless, love, and bow. Adam that I am. Before the grandeur, wisdom, and knowledge of our Creator, and before the wonders that surround me, I am blissful. I am in glory. Oh, who could ever describe the splendid beauties of the land of the elect, heavens, worlds, and suns, and their role in the great concourse of universal harmony? Yet, my teacher, I shall try, I will undertake these studies, and shall return to deposit at your feet the efforts of my labors as a spirit, and which I dedicate to you beforehand. So long, Demure.
The following two communications of February 1st and 2nd are related to the illness that had beset me at that time. Although the communications are personal, I have reproduced them here because they show that Dr. Demure continues to be as good as a spirit as he was as a man.
My good friend, trust us and take heart. Although this crisis is tiring and painful, it will not last long. With the prescribed treatment, and depending on your desire, you will soon complete the work which is the principal objective of your life. I am always here at your side with Spirit of Truth, who allows me to speak in his name. Because I am the most recent among your friends who have crossed over to the spirit world, the others have allowed me the honors. Dear teacher, how happy I am at having died in time to be with them at this moment. If I had died earlier, perhaps I could have prevented this unforeseen crisis. My discarnation, however, was so recent that I was unable to concern myself with anything but matters of the Spirit. But now I shall watch over you, dear teacher. I am your brother and friend, and I feel happy at being a spirit in order to be at your side, taking care of you in your illness. But you know the proverb, heaven helps those who help themselves. So, help the good spirits in their care for you and follow their prescription exactly. It is very hot in here. That coal fire makes you tired. Don't burn any more coal while you are ill. It increases your difficulty in breathing. The gases it releases are harmful. Your friend, Demure. It's me, Demure, Mr. Kardec's friend. I have come to tell him that I was with him when he survived the accident that could have been disastrous without the timely intervention that I had the happy fortune to assist. According to my observations, the information gathered from a good source, it seems to me that the sooner he disincarnates, the sooner he will reincarnate, which will enable him to finish up his work. However, before departing, he must finish the works that will complete the doctrinal system of which he is the initiator. And he would be guilty of intentional suicide if, through excessive work, he were to contribute to the breakdown of his organism, which threatens to bring him suddenly to our world. You must not be afraid to tell him the whole truth of the matter, so that he may be on guard and follow our prescriptions to the letter. Demure.
The following communication was received in Montauban on January 26th, the day following his death, in the circle of his spiritist friends in that town.
Antione Demure, I have not died for you, my good friends, but only for those who do not yet know, as you do, this holy doctrine that unites all those on earth who love one another, all those who are of the same mind and who have the same sentiments of love and charity. I am happy, happier than I could hope, for I am enjoying a lucidity that is quite rare among spirits who have so recently been delivered from matter. Take heart, my good friends. I will always be with you and will not fail to instruct you about things of which we are ignorant when we are connected to our poor material body, as it hides so many splendors and prevents so many joys. Pray for those who are deprived of this happiness, for they do not know the wrong they are committing against themselves. I cannot stay long today, but I wanted to tell you that I do not feel completely foreign to this world of invisible beings. It almost seems like I have always dwelt here. I am happy because I see my friends here and can communicate with them whenever I want to. Do not weep, my friends. That would make me regret having known you. With the passing of time, God will bring you also to this plane where all of us will be together again. Good night, my friends. May God comfort you. I am with you. Demure.
Another letter from Montauban contained the following account. Due to her extreme sensitivity, we kept Dr. Demure's death from Mrs. G., who is a seeing medium and a very lucid somnambulist. Obviously, understanding our intentions, the good doctor avoided manifesting himself to her. Last February 10th, we were gathered at the invitation of our guides, who said they wanted to relieve Mrs. G. of the sprained ankle that had been causing her great misery since the preceding day. We knew nothing of the matter and were far from anticipating the surprise that our guides had in store for us. As soon as this woman went into the somnambulistic state, she began to scream violently, pointing to her foot. This is what happened. Mrs. G. saw a spirit, whose face remained hidden, bending over her leg. The spirit rubbed and massaged it, at times making a longitudinal motion exactly as any physician would do. The procedure was so painful, the patient bawled and writhed uncontrollably. However, the crisis soon passed. Within 10 minutes, all traces of the sprain and its inflammation had disappeared, and her foot had returned to its normal appearance. Mrs. G had been healed. However, the spirit remained unknown to Mrs. G and insisted on not showing its face to her. It seemed as though it wanted to leave when Mrs. G, who only a few minutes earlier could not even take a step, leapt to the middle of the room to shake hands with her spirit doctor. Again, the spirit kept its face turned away, leaving only its hand in hers. At that moment, she cried out and fainted to the floor. She had recognized Dr. Demure as her spirit healer. While she was unconscious, she received the careful attention of several sympathetic spirits. Finally, when she had returned to lucid somnambulism, she talked with them and exchanged warm greetings with them, especially with the spirit doctor, who responded to her displays of affection by enveloping her in restorative fluids. Isn't this scene striking and dramatic? And doesn't it give us the impression that we are watching all these various personages performing their roles as they would in human life? Doesn't it comprise one more proof among so many others that spirits are real beings endowed with bodies and acting as though they were still on the earth? We were happy to meet our spirit friend with his same excellent heart and delicate kindness. During his life, he had been the medium's physician. He knew about her extreme sensitivity and treated her like his own daughter. Isn't this proof of identity granted to those whom the spirit used to love, striking, and at the same time enough to make us view the future life from a more comforting point of view? End of account. Dr. Demure's situation as a spirit is exactly what we might expect because of his worthy and useful life while on Earth. However, a no less instructive fact highlights these communications. The activity he becomes involved in almost immediately after his death in order to be useful. Due to his refined intelligence and moral qualities, he belongs to the order of the most advanced spirits. He is happy, but his happiness does not consist of idleness. Only a few days earlier, he was caring for the sick as a physician. Once liberated, he rushed to care for them as a spirit. Then what good is it to go to the other world, some will say, if one can't rest there? We would ask them first of all, doesn't the fact that we will have no more worries or needs mean anything at all, or that we will no longer be subject to the infirmities of human life, or the fact that we will be free to travel space at the speed of thought without tiring, going to see our friends at any time and at any distance, no matter where they are? Second, we would add, when you are in the other world, no one will force you to do anything. You will be perfectly free to remain in as beatific idleness as you want. However, you will soon grow tired of such selfish repose, and you will be the first to ask for some sort of occupation. Then you might be told, if you are tired of doing nothing, look around for something to do. The opportunities for being useful are not lacking in the spirit world, just as they are not lacking among men and women. Thus, spirit activity does not imply any kind of coercion, but a need, a satisfaction for spirits who look for occupations according to their likes and aptitudes, preferring those that can help them most in their development.